very good morning to you. I came in to Galway Bay FM. We're with you right through until 12 midday. I'm looking at Galway Greats, and for the first time in this series, I'm joined by a couple who joined us during the Ren Moore show, and they have so much more to tell us, we've asked them to join us in studio. And Tom and Margaret Duggan sit opposite me today. Morning to both of you. Thanks indeed for joining us today on the programme.
Morning, Keith.
Morning, Keith. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for dropping in to us again. Now, we spoke in Flannery's Hotel a couple of weeks ago indeed, but tell me, I want to go back on your life from there. You met Tom during the Student Prince.
That's right, Student Prince in 1970. The Patricia Musical Society performance in the Town Hall Theatre.
And both of you were into musicals then at that stage?
We were indeed, we were, yeah. And Margaret probably more than me, because she's the real singer in the family.
Yeah, but there was music in your house all the time, because I know your brother indeed, Eamon, but there was always music in Father Griffin Road, wasn't there?
There was always music in Father Griffin Road. It was mainly the radio, and we loved the radio. My parents loved music, and they always wanted us to enjoy music, and that music would be part of our lives. And so we listened to all kinds of music. But when I try to think back, I think it was very much classical music we listened to. Mm-hmm. All those pieces became quite familiar to us, generally from the radio.
And would you have had classical music then home?
We would have had an element, but I think we were more into the John McCormack era.
Yeah, Count John McCormack, yeah.
Count John McCormack, and he was a great favourite in our house. Brendan O'Dowda, a lot of Irish performers.
Mm. And what gave you, we know that Margaret, the family were musical, what gave you the growth for the whole musical side of things then, and the Student Prince?
Well, I'd say, you know, it all started in the Old Man and St. Patrick's School, mm-hmm. where we had school choirs. Now, the school choir was essential for so many people who came on stage in later years. Yeah. It gives a great introduction to music. Sadly, and then, of course, we had the church choirs. We had a youth choir in the Garrison Church in Renmore, mm-hmm. when we were young, and my sisters played the harmonium there.
Wow.
And then the school choirs, which are sadly largely missing today, which means that children aren't getting, even though they're coming through the musical societies,
mm.
but I think that great love of music that we had, we got in St. Patrick's School.
Margaret, you were saying that when you were at home in Father Griffin Road that you would create a curtain, a stage, and your parents would sit there and you would perform.
We did, yeah. We thought we were wonderful, and Mammy and Daddy, I can still see them in my mind's eye, laughing at us. We'd have to have an entrance, so we'd always put a curtain across the kitchen floor, and we'd get dressed up in the hallway, whenever we had visitors, we'd do the same thing, mm. and we'd sing, and you'd be making up the words as you'd go along, and. And we all did it. Mm. And I don't know that I think of it. I don't know anybody else who did it. But we got great fun out of it. And then our parents encouraged us. So from that point of view, they were sowing the seeds, I think.
So go back then to 1970, Student Prince, you were on stage. Were the two of you on stage at the same time during that production? And that's how you met?
Yeah, we would have been, yeah. Actually, we met first at rehearsals.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I first spotted Margaret on stage during rehearsals.
You and spotted her?
I did.
Did you spot him?
I heard his voice, his speaking voice first.
Wow.
The part he was playing, he had been doing, was it Mungo's Mansions?
Yeah.
He had been doing another play.
Yeah.
And he was missing from rehearsals, and his part was spoken by somebody else. So I can still remember the time I was standing talking to a group of other ladies, I suppose, and we were having the usual giggles, and I heard this voice from the stage, and I turned around, and here was Tom. And it was the warmth in his voice that I felt for first. And
a romantic interlude.
Yeah. And I said, I'd like to meet that fella. And we met, and that's over 50 years ago now. It'd be 50, we were going out for 2 years.
Yeah.
It'd be 54 because we're 52 years married.
Wow.
At this stage, so 54
years. Well, I suppose music was very important because we continued at the PMS then through a number of productions like Fiddler on the Roof. And then we moved on to the Panto, where we were the boy and girl for the first couple of years.
In the Renmore Panto?
In the Renmore Panto, yeah.
Wow, you were young then, weren't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Not saying that you're not young now. No.
And then we continued with Margaret sang with the Galway Rock Baroque Singers.
Yeah.
I sang with the Galway Choral Association. So we were always into the music thing. It was so much of what we are and what we were.
Doesn't it really, I mean, you touched on it earlier on, Tom. I'm talking to Tom and Margaret Duggan. But you touched on it earlier on. Doesn't it just show at an early age to introduce music to children and the long-term effect that it has?
Definitely, absolutely, yeah. I think without that school base, I don't know where we'd be.
Yeah,
because
you were exposed to it in Father Griffin Road.
Yes.
You were exposed to it in Renmore. Exposed in the nicest possible way, and then you made that your life.
Yes, it was. It made us what we became, and we had music in schools. We were taught music. I went to Scholar, so you went to the Bish, and music was part of the of what we did. Yeah. We learned how to sing, and it played a huge part in our school life. And they put us in for competitions and everything. Mm. We were in the Thaivirk when we were only very young.
Wow.
The teachers would have us in competing. And you see, when I was thinking about this, I thought about, we had a lot of freedom. People nowadays, young people have freedom, but the freedom we had, we were allowed to think for ourselves. Our parents knew and supported us to becoming involved in things.
Mm.
But we had the freedom then after that. And in that, we were very, very lucky. I don't think young people today, they're driven to different places and you're dropped and you're picked up. We didn't have to worry about things like that.
Didn't have the luxury of that.
No, and we didn't need it.
I'm going to say, Kate, too, that music enriched our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Our family's life, and we have such a wonderful network of friends through music. It's extraordinary, literally.
Very good morning to you. Welcome back into today's programme. We're with you right through until 12 midday. Our Galway greats today are Tom and Margaret Duggan. And just before the break there, you'll have heard indeed the marriage of Figaro and that piece of music. I want to come back to you now, lads, in relation to you got married in what year did you get married?
1972.
In May of 72. And at that stage, were you living in the shop, or had you moved at that stage?
No, well, I was living at home.
You were living at home?
Beside the shop in the house I was born in.
Yeah.
I'm a real Renmorian.
I've never heard that now, Renmorian. Yeah. I've heard of Merv Gluian from Merview, they stick together.
Renmorian, yeah. So I'd say I'm the last of that generation who were born on Renmore Road.
Wow. And you were born at home?
Yeah, my John and Mary were born in nursing homes.
Mm-hmm.
And the other four girls were born, I think some of them at home.
That's right. So when you got married then, where did you have your wedding reception?
Flannery's Hotel. And we went back there this year.
We were back with Keith a fortnight ago.
We went back for our 50th.
Wow.
We celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary. In Flannery's.
And wasn't Frank Flannery ahead of his time, himself and his family?
Well, strange enough, Frank Flannery came from Ballaghaderreen.
That's right.
And my mother came from Ballyhaderine.
So we had a special reception.
We did. Wow. I remember my aunt who came up for the day, and she was charmed because Frank came out to escort her in the door.
Wow.
And so it's strange how these things happen.
Beautiful history to have.
Beautiful history, yeah.
And then when you left Flannery's then, where did you go to live?
Went to live in Renmore Park.
48 Renmore.
So we just moved around the corner.
Just around the corner,
and
yeah.
We're still there.
Wow. Wow.
We're still there.
Again, McInerney's built a fine home in those days. So that
it is. Yes,
it is.
Yeah. And Renmore's an amazing place. Beautiful place for our family. Yeah.
Still very much is.
Very special.
We have a wonderful community there.
Mm. Yeah, great neighbours. Very supportive neighbours. Things happening. People care about one another.
Mm-hmm.
People are aware of one another and support one another. And, I wouldn't swap it for the world.
And from a family point of view, how many children did you have in family?
Four. Old.
Four. And are they musically minded?
They are. And they've sung in choirs. And I have a daughter who plays the harp.
Mm-hmm.
And... they're all interested in
and
music.
Adrian
plays his guitar.
His
And so when the kids were of an age that they could play music and that, would Christmas time and special occasions, would that be a celebration of music in the household?
Yes. Sorry, am I speaking across you now, Tom?
No. But
it's just this enthusiasm for Christmas, because we always sung in choirs at Christmas. We were involved in church choirs.
Yeah.
And church choirs at Christmas were magic.
And there was mainly the Augustinian choir with Sonny.
Well, I started in the jazz choir, and I was reflecting. We used to do three masses on Christmas morning.
Wow.
Singing in the choir. And... Queenie Lyons now is the last organist, and she's still alive and living in her home opposite the church. She was the last organist that I remember, and but we did three masses on a Christmas morning.
Wow!
And we were only children that time.
And coming back then to your family, Tom. Then so celebration then via music and that. But did any of them get the bug that she had from? You know, for Mungo's Mansion,
as children, they all got involved in the panto as well. There were years when the whole six of us were involved in the Red Hall panto.
Which is very handy.
They did stints with choirs, but it didn't last for them, you know. Yeah. They got work and got married and, you know.
Yeah. But through all of this then, I mean, to put food on the table, the shop was there.
Yeah.
The shop was there, and I mean, the shop. When was the shop? Was it always there when you were growing up?
Well, it was established a few years before I was born.
Wow.
My parents came to there in 1940. And my dad, Bill, was the man of Down, and my mother, Evelyn Leach, from Ross Hill. So she only came in the road.
Yeah.
So they started the shop around that time, and the roof, it was quite small. It was only maybe a few hundred square feet.
Mm.
But as Renmore grew and Merview grew and Calvary Hospital opened.
And Glenina Heights.
And Glenina Heights.
Came the way, yeah.
Renmore Park, Dunamara, Lisbeck Lawn. It all, I suppose, helped the businesses to progress and enlarge.
And did you have to move with the times? Because the footprint now is quite big. But was that footprint always there for you to...
Well, it's amazing that... I suppose they're still there, and now moving into fourth generation.
Yeah,
it's extraordinary in a way.
It's lovely. It's lovely to see the name still involved and family
indeed,
still involved.
Indeed, yeah.
But then the expansion into the chemist or the pharmacy. Then that's a big expansion.
Yeah, Liam is there now. Maybe my nephew.
Yeah,
and it was. It was a great place to work, Keith, because if I call it work, for me, it was a lot of enjoyment and met some wonderful people. And a lot of our customers weren't just customers, they were friends.
But you were always on the floor, so you were.
We were of the old mould, where we had to be there to open the door and lock the door and be there on the floor 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And it was a tough life, but I enjoyed it because people are what I love. I love people.
Yeah. And so did you learn on the go from your parents then once you finished in the Bish?
Oh, indeed. I think I was reared under the counter.
Yeah.
And in them old days, we weighed raisins, sugar, tea. We weighed all that kind
of stuff
at night time when we were quite young.
Wow. And in the early days, Margaret of Marison and Tom Rook in the hours that he was working, was that difficult?
Very. And that's the hours were long. But at least I knew where he was.
But, there was many a wife didn't know where the husband was.
Yeah, but so I was blessed in that respect. Yeah. But the time that we had to spend together, we made the most of it.
Mm.
And again, the both of us were in, you know, we joined a choir.
Yeah.
So we would go together. And holidays, we were always together. So we made the most. We never wasted any of the time we had together. So from that point of view, we were blessed.
And could you take holidays then, Tom, from the shop?
Oh, well, I did, but nothing like it'd be a week here, a week there.
Yeah.
Like I would have worked probably every weekend, really. Saturday, Sunday were norm, you know. My day off would have been Tuesday. And I know when we were going on holidays, I'd be the last on the bus.
You never knew what was in the bag.
Really? Never.
The bags were there and it was mad rush and he never knew what was in the bags. So I was a very good wife, you know.
You were and you still are. And he's a great husband as well.
Yes. Isn't
he? And he still is. So
I have to say he is. Yeah.
I've covered all patches there, so I have. And when you were away then, there was no such thing as mobile phones or pagers or social media or anything like that. Could you switch off when you take some time out with Margaret and the family?
I had to switch off, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at that time when you were gone, as you say, there was no contact, really.
It'd have been the coin phone, the phone box somewhere, and that'd be about it.
I remember it well.
And feeding it with...
queuing up.
Mm. Yeah, just to make the call from there.
Yeah.
But when you see then to now, it's the change has been drastically huge with everything that's going on.
Indeed.
Technically and everything.
Yeah.
The whole world has changed.
Yeah.
Mm. Since I retired, anyway, the whole world has changed in that respect.
Yeah.
And the whole retail world has changed. And I suppose Duggan's was always the local shop on the corner.
Yeah.
And it was a great social place because people... Even still, people go there, they might not want to buy anything, but they're going to meet somebody.
Yeah.
They want to relate some story with somebody. And
there's
still a meeting kind of a place.
And that's what always struck me about Duggan's, was you'd meet someone in there, or you had a perfect meat counter, so you had, and you could get the cold meat and all that. And it was a meeting place, yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about the meat counter. I have to mention one person in particular, But that was Oliver Hughes, who was our butcher for over 30 years. And he was a brother to us, and he's still a great friend living down in Woodlands Green.
God bless.
Special guy.
Yeah. And just, isn't it amazing, just when I mentioned the meat counter, you can see the emotion coming to your face.
Yeah.
You know, it just shows the impact that staff and have family and customers and all of that, they had on life.
And we had, I have to say, I can name them all, we had great staff over the years.
Yeah.
And it wasn't I think we were on a friendly kind of overall, there wasn't really a real boss type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I always respected these people we had working with us.
Yeah.
Through the years.
And Margaret, did you ever go into the shop? I know you said no earlier on, but I mean, did you ever work?
Yeah.
Did you work there or just went into?
I used to help in the early years.
She was a great merchandiser.
You see, because, as I say, my dad had a shop in Dominic Street, and my mom then opened a shop in the front room in Father Griffin Road. And I was used to that atmosphere. And shop was where people talked.
Yeah.
And my memories of Daddy's shop in Dominic Street was people dropped in as they passed up and down. Mm. And I remember the heated conversations over the football matches, because he was a great footballer in his day.
Yeah.
And everything was dissected on the shop floor during the week, and various people popped in. Mm-hmm. And it had all to do, it was all based on football. And we children would be, if we were in the area, if we used to pop into Daddy, he'd read John D. Sheridan to us from the Independent, and Curly Wee, and he was always into reading stuff at us.
An educator, really.
He was an educator, and he had been well educated himself, and he had a great knowledge, and he was passing this all the time on to us. Wow. And it was behind the counter, and I remember him with the newspaper spread in front, and he'd be making us read the, you know, the little passages.
Yeah.
And something he would have found interesting. And I can still see these other men coming in, and the banter and the discussion about the weekend match and all this.
Wow.
And sometimes they became quite heated, and difference of opinion and everything else.
Mm.
But they're great memories, and they were great times to have shared.
Absolutely.
And it was a great opportunity to share with your parents these moments.
And what was your maiden name?
My name was Shevlin.
Oh,
and
yes.
And that was the name of my dad's shop, Shevlin's.
Shevlin's, yeah. Shoe shop.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mom opened up a shop in the...
And Mom, yeah, because...
Then you married a grocer.
I married. So, you see, we had an awful lot in common. So we were blessed.
I'm not the daughter, don't. Don't marry a shopkeeper.
She did, yeah.
Did she?
But I didn't heed her advice.
You were right.
I was never sorry.
The shorelines blending, they're yours and mine. Drifting along in my heart, there's a song, and the song in my heart.
Very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. I'm with Galway Greats indeed, and I'm with Tom and Margaret Duggan. The first couple Galway Greats that I've worked on, but just talking about life since you retired, did you both retire around the same time, and have you done much travelling since then?
Well, we always tended to travel a bit when we had the opportunity. We went to the hot climates with the children.
Yeah.
And I had to get him out of town, Keith, because if he were around, he could be called upon to stand in. So I had to kind of get him out of town.
You had a method in your madness,
didn't
you?
I had a method in my madness, yeah.
Get him out of town. So you go with the children there then.
Yeah.
But you did a lot of travelling, you were saying to me, when it comes to choirs as well.
Yes, we were very lucky to have the opportunities. We both sung with the Baroque Singers. Audrey Corbett was the conductor. She lives in Barna, and she has retired now. She was wonderful. She did beautiful choral stuff with us over the years, and we did Messiah on a number of occasions. And then in the last few years, we got the opportunity to travel to Germany to perform Handel's Messiah with massed choirs from all over the world. And we were very familiar with the music, it was no challenge. And groups from Galway would travel with us.
Wow.
And we had great fun.
And so, I mean, that whole music still is very much part of your life then, Tom, as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay,
but the place, we not alone Halle, but...
And the Augustinian Choir,
sang the Albert Hall in London, which was a great...
Wow.
Margaret, of course, the song in the National Concert Hall.
She sang
a solo in...
Well, I got an opportunity to sing a solo in one of the works. Oh, gosh, I just can't recall it just now, but it was my moment of fame.
So what would you say the success of your relationship and partnership is? Because you're still... you still look out for one another. You're looking out for him, he's looking out for you. It's quite obvious today and was quite obvious last week. What's the success of that? I'll let Tom answer that for us.
It's hard to know.
We've a great mutual respect, I think.
There's mutual respect. Is there a chemistry works in that area?
Yeah.
But I do know we have
something special.
Very lucky that we have something special. And
but you don't take it for granted because you still respect each other. And like you were saying earlier on, am I talking too much? And yes, Tom, are you walking too much? It's all there, so it is. And that is mutual respect. That is respect. And again, when people see that, then there's a lovely... It sends out a lovely message to people.
I'm glad. Yeah. Tom's very kind. And he has always been very kind. And we've never had a row. And, you know, that sounds a bit facetious to say that now, but that is really true. I couldn't hurt his feelings. I couldn't fight with him, even though he'd annoy me at times. But I couldn't hurt his feelings.
Wow.
So, and then again, I'd be singing around the house all the time. And that's a great stress reliever as well.
Yeah.
So, blessed.
What about the neighbours then? Do they like your singing?
They don't mind us at all.
It's an amazing story that you've told us. It's an amazing achievement, so it is.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you for coming in to us. And we're going to go out on the Alleluia. The Alleluia is very special to you.
Yeah. That comes from Handel's Messiah.
And that's special to the two of you, is it, Tom?
Because we say, Hallelujah, thank you, God.
Yeah.
But I think the first time we did the Alleluia chorus together in Messiah, and that whole performance of Messiah, I said to Margaret, you know, chorally and musically, we've reached the promised land. This is it. It just can't get better than this.
And would you have a strong faith, the two of you?
Yes. And our faith has kept us going.
Yeah.
And we always pray together. And
We're weekly mass goers.
Yeah.
And sometimes daily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're involved really in anything church.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
Which probably has helped us along the road as well.
Yes.
Mm. Well, you're a lovely couple, so you are, Tom and Margaret, and Margaret and Tom. I'm covered in both tracks here.
You are. I've been very careful.
So let's go out on Alleluia. Thank you both for being just ye. Thank you both for what you've done to the community and for the community. And thank you for popping into us this morning.
Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you.
So let's go out on Alleluia. What a close. Thank you to both of them indeed for spending so much time with us, and a lovely story and a lovely couple as well. Speaking of lovely people, Darren Kelly sits opposite me today. Darren, morning to you. We're looking at a review indeed of what happened at the weekend in football. Kerry 15, Galway 1-10, defeat for Galway. Will they survive in Division 1?
Well, they have survived in Division 1, Keith, but before I talk about that, as you talk about lovely people and a fantastic piece that was there, may I say first, and I'm going somewhere with this, what a lovely shirt you're wearing today.
Why, what's wrong with the shirt?
Paul Conroy doesn't have a lovely shirt. I don't know if you saw the pictures of him.
It was torn off.
You know what now, and I'll go to the match in a second as well, but like, look, there's some great football when it's played properly and all that, and there's many of us listening here, including myself, that love Gaelic football when it's played the way it's meant to be, but there's just so much pulling and dragging that's going on, and I think it's the second time this happened to Galway this year, but when you see the pictures of it, you kind of ask yourself, and like the Kerry guy that did it, I think it was Adrian's plan, kind of get away with it scot-free, and you kind of go, come on, like, here, like, you know, there's no need for
took some force,
took of a jersey there trying to stop a player getting momentum and all that, but it was like Paul Conroy, like, all he had to do was like to start batting his chest and he'd be Tarzan. But going back to what you're asking about the football, look, disappointing to lose the game. We're going up against Kerry, one of the top three teams. Keith, many times here where you've been talking to myself, talking to John, talking to Molly, you know, we're missing like two-thirds of a team. Some players trickling back in, Paul Conroy being one of them, are right. We fell well down, 6 points down at one stage. We came back in, a brilliantly taken goal by Tom O'Callaghan, getting us back into the contest there near the end. But we probably just left ourselves too much to do. It has to be said, Kerry didn't start with the Cliffords either in that game. They're going off for a warm weather training camp. I think they're going off today to Portugal. As it is, Kerry won't mind not being in the league final. But for Galway, with the amount of injuries they had this year, they'll be relieved, maybe not the right word, but happy enough to survive in Division 1. Pádraig Joyce will be thinking the same thing, as he was talking to Jonathan Higgins. And what Pádraig was saying to Jonathan, look, he wasn't happy with the performance, but at least they're still in Division 1.
Ah, look, I'd be disappointed, Jonathan, with the performance and disappointed with the game, but on the flip side, you're a bit relieved as well to stay in Division 1. I think all we have been really, really, really well to stay in Division 1, you know, based on the panel of players available to us. We have a lot of rookies in the squad that's got a lot of game time to keep us ticking over, and look, it's delighted to still survive Division 1, but with a couple of good performances, a couple of poor performances, we know we've a lot of work to do to get talked about later in the year, you know.
When you kind of take a step back in motion, obviously it's disappointment losing the game, but in a weird way, is it a kind of very satisfying for you, the fact that you've had so many injuries but new players have stood up and ultimately kept football?
100%, Jonathan, yeah. But look, like these lads have got game time, you know, they learn so much from the games anyways, from having played against the Kerry, the Dublin, the Mayos this world, you know, and like they'll get invaluable experience from that, you know. So look, they now know the level that they have to get to individually, and the big thing from them is that they start getting consistency in their performances day after day after day. So look, we know where we're at, we have a lot of work to do, and we start with London in 2 weeks' time.
And that game is coming up in 2 weeks' time, Keith, as well. We'll be looking forward to a Galway against London, a big gathering taking place in the Clada on the Friday week as well. Ollie Turner will be there with her own Galway BFM team. But look, Galway surviving Division 1, at the end of the day, based on the luck they had this year, there was some poor performances, we'll take that.
Now let's go to ladies football. Kerry 2-11, Galway 12 points. Not for the ladies down in Killarney, was it?
No, not to be, Keith. Like, you know, they did come back from conceding an early goal there to get their noses in front, but eventually a second goal conceded in the second half. 2-11, 12 point defeat there. They're not finished yet. They were meant to be finished. There's one game, and Daniel Moynihan will touch on this in a second, talking to our own Tommy Devan. We are still to play Waterford. We're on 3 points. Cork have been relegated after their defeat to Meath. Galway and Waterford are on 3 points each. And when that game takes place, you might remember it was called off last week after Pearse Stadium was ruled unplayable. Bacon was thrown in there as a venue. Waterford wouldn't come up. The LGFA said fair enough. And here we are in this precarious situation. But before Daniel gets to that, talking to Tommy Devan, he took the positives out of the defeat to Kerry first.
You're playing, you know, probably the favourites for an All-Ireland. Dublin might have said something about that, but you know, it's what they're looking for. They've been to the last two All-Ireland finals. They're a team that is polished and they're finished. So, you know, when they get their goal chances and took it, it was always going to be a case of that if we got them, we needed to take them. And unfortunately, you know, maybe a lack of experience, maybe we didn't round the keeper or take a couple of steps back and finish a little bit lower. That kind of cost us. And if we got those goal chances, I think it would have been a different story at the end of the day.
It was to be the final round of the league. Of course, it's not for Galway now. I'll bring up the dreaded question, Daniel, that the Waterford game remains to be played.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, we were hopeful to play it up in the Dome last week. It didn't happen. I'm none the wiser. I can't give you any fresh scoops in relation to when this game is going to happen. Nobody seems to know when it's going to happen. There seems to be a bit of a deadlock in relation to when both teams want to play, which is frustrating for us, and I'm sure for them as well, that this could drag on for another couple of weeks or so, because ideally we'd like to get our head down and start looking towards championship, but you know, that's life. We have to get on with it.
Yeah, we will get hobbled with it, and as soon as we hear details, hopefully we know more this week, Keith, in regards to what's going on with that Galway-Waterford match. But that's where it comes down to now. Galway against Waterford. The winner stays in Division 1 in the ladies' football. The loser is relegated to Division 2.
Now, let's have a look at Camogie. Galway 13 points, Waterford 12. A very close game.
A very, very close game, and getting very nervous at the end there, Keith. But look, it's the league at the end of the day, but Galway still will want to. They're going for 3 league titles in a row. Waterford came to Loughrea on Saturday and pulled it up to Galway, especially in the second half. We're leading in the closing straights, but then Galway got those late scores, Ailish O'Reilly and Carrie Dolan, to get over the line and win the game by a point. What that means now for Galway, they host Cork next weekend. We haven't details yet. Possibly could be in Loughrea again. Galway, Cork and Tipperary are all on 9 points after 4 games. Tipperary are taking on Clare. They'll be expected to win that match. So Galway against Cork is effectively a league semi-final taking place next weekend. And look, when those two get together, it never disappoints. We were were disappointing, of course, when we lost the All-Ireland semi-final to Cork last year. We'll have details of that when we have it today or tomorrow. Speaking of Cork, Galway's minors suffered their second defeat in the All-Ireland Minor Championship yesterday, going down 19 points to 1-9 to Cork. They still have two games. One victory out of those two games should put them into an All-Ireland semi-final.
Yeah, I was looking at the listening to the Connemara and Dunmore game, and Ollie Turner had said, and he lives in Dunmore, that Connemara were the strongest team, and they won 18-0.
Yes, their sixth title, Keith. They got in the front foot early. They were 11-0 up at half time, and they never gave Dunmore really an opportunity to get in there and get the job done. What a remarkable run it has been for Dunmore, knocking out the defending champions Westport in the opening round, making a first ever final in the 50th anniversary of the club. But this was Connemara's day. They've been one of the top teams in Galway in the last couple of years, a great rivalry with Craigs at the moment, and they're a professional in getting the job done, and congratulations to Connemara. And also, Keith, congratulations to Tuam. They beat Sligo 44-14 in the plate final. Great work being done in Tuam at the moment in both the men's and the women's game.
Not a great weekend though for Connacht Rugby.
Keith, it was very, very disappointing to watch. I think even the way you described it, the polite version. Look, first game back in 3 weeks, don't have Bundy Aki and Finlay Beelam, and they're not going to be available for the game against Benetton either. But we've never lost to a South African team at home. The Lions came up to play, got off to a good start. Connacht got themselves back into it with two tries, but like, the Lions were down to 14 players, a high challenge there from their prop for about 15 minutes of the match, and we just never seemed to get on top of it. And at the end of the day, the Lions just started running away with it at the end, getting two late scores too. Look, at the end of the day, it's up to Connacht to bounce back. They're away to Benetton this weekend before they go back into the European Challenge Cup. But we're outside the top eight now, Keith, I believe. I have to actually double check the table, but at the end of the day, we have to get in that top eight position if we perform like that again. Very, very poor, Keith, and I can take a stronger words I won't say on your show if you don't mind. If we play like that again, the season is going to fizzle out.
It is going to fizzle out, so it is. Listen, what a great win for Mary Oran Moore in basketball over the weekend. They really are in hunt for silverware again.
Yeah, they are indeed. Look at the great season they had last year, winning the National Cup, winning the Southern Conference as well. They got off to a bad start this season, got knocked out of the Cup early, but they're back in it there. And sure, it was great listening to John Mulligan and Adrian O'Neill on Saturday night. Dominant performances, EJ Sligo All-Stars. They take on Aina next weekend in the league semi-final. This is the one competition, Keith, they didn't win last year. So if they were to get the other two victories, it would be fantastic. But well done to everyone in Mary.
Soccer-wise,
two things I want to talk to you about. First, Galway United women, what a season they are having. They start off the defence of their All-Ireland Cup with a 2-0 victory over Sligo Rovers. They were lacking goals in a lot of the league campaign last year, Keith, but they're knocking them in. Rolla Ulasola with the two goals against Sligo. A great start for them on top of their two league victories beforehand. We'll be keeping a strong eye on Phil Trill's team this year. Many are wondering about Galway United men. Well, John Coffey's side working out this weekend. They are away to Derry City next Friday night. We'll have it live here on Over the Line. Finally, John O'Shea's first game as Republic of Ireland manager, 0-0 draw with Belgium to play Switzerland tomorrow night.
Good stuff. Listen, thanks to you for that, and well done, Darren. And you'll have sport on the air every hour throughout the day today. Just got a quick note in, by the way, today, that on Garda Síochána Retired Members Association Galway branch, they're having a table quiz this coming Good Friday night indeed, the 29th of March at 7:30 p.m. in the Scout Den in Renmore. A table of four is €20, single entry is €5, and prizes and raffles on the night as well, and all are very welcome to go along to it. So if you're a member of an Garda Síochána Retired Members Association Galway branch, feel free to go to that. So the Scout Den in Renmore this coming Good Friday night, the 29th of March, for further details there. On tomorrow's show, we will hear from Father Tony Flannery on the future of Catholicism and how it can become more relevant in today's world. We'll be talking to Marilyn Gahan-Redden from the Galway Culture Company as well. Councillor John Connolly will be joining us. We'll be talking about the needs for enhanced ADHD support in Galway CAMHS. That's not there also. We'll be talking about the amount of people out of work due to long COVID. We have the Garda slot and trending topics as well with Joshua Byrne. And we'll be following up indeed with Aslan ahead of their gig in Munro's in April. So all of that and more on tomorrow's programme. If you do want to get in contact with us all of this week, you can do so, by the way, And that could be by just texting us to 086 38 33 553, or quite simply, you can email comments, comments at galwaybfm.ie. That's comments at galwaybfm.ie. And we can then just take it from there then as well. That is it for today. Thank you indeed to all involved in today's programme. Leah produced, Siobhan took your comments. From yours truly, Keith Finnegan, until tomorrow morning, just after the 9 o'clock news. Have yourselves a good and a safe Monday, and let's hope the weather will improve very quickly. Stand by, and Ronan is next, right through on 3 o'clock. Then Kate O'Malley, and then all the crew right through to get you through the night here on Galway BFM. We shall talk to you tomorrow just after 9 o'clock news. Have a good and a safe Monday. Bye-bye.